Good morning, Kings Park, and magandang umaga po sa mga kababayan ko. I feel very privileged to come and share with you. I thank you for the invitation. And I also thank you for the outline that Ross has given me, the direction that you've been taking over the past few weeks. And Ross's emphasis on being shaped, all of us being shaped, in order to be a part of shaping others, or letting the Lord shape others through us. And it's a process. I've really been thinking through what a process that is and how that's happened in my own life and brought me to the place where I am. And I realized that God has been doing that. That's what he's done right from the beginning. From creation, when his word, his spirit was hovering over the chaos and the darkness, and his word was then spoken over creation and it formed. And he brought this beautiful garden where he brought things into order so that the garden could flourish and people and nature could flourish and nurture one another, and that people could be in his place, as it were. He said, go and take dominion over the earth. And what exactly does that mean? So I've been thinking about that, and thinking about how God shaped the world from the beginning through his word. And it's through his word and his spirit that he continues to shape. He brings darkness into light and beauty and fruitfulness and order, so that life can flourish. He is a God who is a life giver, and he wants flourishing to happen in every part of our lives, spiritually, physically, emotionally and relationally, and in our society. He wants us to flourish. So he brought it into being just by speaking, and then he shaped it. He shaped it, and he involved us in that. But before that, he had to make us, and he took a handful of earth that he had spoken into being. He'd spoken the earth into being, and he took that handful of earth and he formed it into a person by breathing into him. His breath, his word, is life-giving and transformative. He could transform dirt into this incredible thing that we call a human being. But it took his spirit to make us a living being. And that's what he did through just speaking, because he is life. He's a source of life. And then from that, the man that he made, he took a rib. A rib isn't something very beautiful. It's just a piece of meat. But he actually formed that, shaped that into a woman. And together, the man and the woman became the image of God. Adam means earth. And we are jars of clay, like earthenware clay that God has shaped. But we, as his believers, contain a treasure, it tells us in 2 Corinthians, that we are jars of clay containing a treasure, which is his life in us. And when he created man in his image and shaped him to be perfectly in relationship with his wife and with his maker and with his surroundings, and to, as it were, extend Eden, extend this place of flourishing across the earth. But of course, we know that the image of God was marred because of man's sin. And his purpose had been, his goal had been, that he, as the king of the universe, would create man in his image. And just like when a king in the old days would colonize another country, he would put up statues of himself. And we were in town the other day here in Sydney, outside the Queen Victoria building, and there's this big imposing image of Queen Victoria. Now that's made out of metal that's been melted down and then poured into a mold to become this big image, but it's lifeless. It's the image, but it's lifeless. We were made to be the living image of God, so that we would be signs of his kingdom, signs of the kingdom of heaven on the earth, that we were to be his representatives here. And that was what was That was what was damaged. And I believe that's why he said, he told his people, I don't want you to make images of God. I don't want you to form images to worship. Why? Because he's already made images. And that's us, not to be worshipped, but to reflect his kingdom, to be signs of his kingdom on the earth that he's created. And he does that, he's continuing to do that, even though the image was marred, he's continuing to do that now in his new creation as he redeems and recreates, or redeems and transforms us. And I can honestly say that when he saved me back in 1989, I was a single mother with a little baby. My life was totally confused. I lived on the move. I was working in the sheep shearing industry, which is like a subculture here in Australia. I don't know if any of you have been involved in that, but we would live in a team and we would go from farm to farm and stay there from a few days to a few weeks and work hard, really hard, play really hard. But I had no direction. I was going from place to place and thing to thing. And when I became pregnant, I just stopped and thought, wow, I'm carrying a little human being. I have no right to mess up the life of this child. This child has been entrusted to me. And I remember going to the doctor to have a pregnancy test and was horrified, even before I knew the Lord, because the doctor said, so do you want to keep it? Instead of, you know, congratulations, you're having a baby, it was, do you want to keep it? I thought, wow, this is a person. And even without knowing Jesus personally, I knew that that was a person and a life. And I believe that's in us. We know that we're created in God's image and it is marred, but that is a life that's entrusted to us. And when he finally reached me, it was through his word. It was through hearing the word of God spoken and preached. And it was like all the lights came on and everything came into focus. I know that at the moment Ross has got double vision. Everything's out of focus. But you know when you in the old style cameras, when you got it in focus and then you could see it, it's not all different images or blurred. Suddenly it comes into focus and you go, that's it. That's it. And that's what he did for me. Through his word, when I heard him describe what I was without him and what he had planned to do from the beginning of time, when he said that we were chosen to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's amazing. That, to me, that gives every single one of us such dignity and worth. Whatever mess you're in, whatever mess your life is in, it's like the Spirit of God is hovering over you as he was hovering over the earth, and he wants to speak his word into you and transform you. And that's what he did in my life. He transformed everything. It was like putting on a fresh pair of glasses and seeing the world in a totally different way. I don't know if that's happened to you, but when you do, when I first got glasses, it was like that. I remember being in Bible college and I couldn't read the board. And then I picked up my friend's glasses and put them on and went, wow, that's what it says. And I looked at the carpet and the grass and I could see every little piece. And for me, it was like that spiritually. I just went, wow. You know that old hymn? It says, the grass is sweeter green and the flowers smell better and all that. It was like that. Everything. Has that happened to you? Because that's what he does for us. That's what he wants to do for us. Just transform us, transform the way we see. He did that through his word. He did that as a faithful preacher. A long story of how I ended up sitting in a church and hearing the gospel preached. But when I did, that's what was happening. He opened my eyes and I just went, wow, this is what I am, but this is what God wants me to be. And as I realized my own sin and just said, Lord, I can do nothing to change myself. I'm a mess. I can't even see straight. And he transformed me through his word. And it just changed everything. And I said, everybody needs to know about this grace. This is God's riches at Christ's expense. It's not me. It's not anything I've done. He wants to do that for other people. And he challenged me about those people who've never heard that message. And as I've thought about what that transformation is, yes, there's an initial wake-up call, but it's like a seed that's planted and begins to grow. When you have a new baby, people will say, oh, he's the image of his father, isn't he? But it's a little little fat, little round thing. I'm sure when Joshua was born, he didn't look exactly like Pastor Ariel looks right now. He'd be like, whoa, that's weird. It took time, right? So as a little baby, oh, he's got his mother's nose and his father's eyes, you know, kind of. He's a reflection of, he's the image of his father. But as he grows and changes, he eventually comes to the point where he images his, he's different, he's not his father, but he walks like him. Does your son walk like you? Does he have your mannerisms? But some people go, I thought it was your dad. because of the way the way a person moves and is, and their kamukha ng tatay niya, just looks the same. Kamukha, mukha is your face. It's like ka is kamukha, the same. It's you know, wow, he's a spitting image, we would say in English. I don't know what spit's got to do with it, but anyway. He's a spitting image, you know. And God's in that process of transformation. That baby did not suddenly become tall and big and mature. It took a process. And it's quite a normal process, yeah? The growth of a baby is normal, but you have to nourish that baby. You have to love that baby. You have to nurture that baby in so many different ways. And that's what God does with us for his kingdom. And he is in the process of transforming this distorted image of God, as it says in 2 Corinthians, that we change from glory to glory, which as we look on the face of Christ, we are changed, we're transformed. How does that happen? Some of it happens by actual discipline, us saying, I'm going to put myself, like Moses going up the mountain and being in the presence of God, put myself in God's presence by reading his word, by meditating on it, by listening to others, fellowshipping and discussing it, nutting it out. What does this mean? When you hit the hard passages, what does that mean? What's he saying to me? Like, get into it and find out what he's saying. And it does transform you. Transforms the way you see the world, transforms the way you see yourself, it transforms the way you see other people, the way you see the lost, the way you see yourself. You're not higher than you think you are, and you're not lower. You are a child of God, made in his image. You're not God. He gets to call the shots, but what he does to transform us into his image, to me, is a taste of the kingdom of God. It's how his kingdom is coming. It's just a taste, and it won't be fully here until he comes and puts his feet back on the earth. But he's giving tasters now, like Jesus. He came to reflect his father. If you've seen me, he said, you've seen the father. Because Ankylos Nya, the way he was like his father was. If you've seen me, you've seen the father. I wish he could say that about me, but little by little, I hope that us, as we're changed into his image, are like salt that made people thirsty and go, The salt isn't the food, but it brings out the flavor. It helps you to taste it. And I hope that we are salt and that we are light, shining into the darkness. Sometimes he uses trials. We don't like trials. I can't imagine what the Browns are going through right now with that. I said, do you feel like there's a cloud hanging over you with this cancer? Is it going to get worse? Is it going to get better? Is there a cloud? But I love their attitude toward it. That you just keep going, Lord, if this is for you, then use it. If this is part of my transformation, this trial is like a crucible. In West Australia, we live in the gold, near the gold fields, and a crucible is that metal or stone, I don't know what they make it out of, but like a bowl, right? And then they heat the gold within it, and the gold becomes molten liquid, and all what's the word in English? Ripak. The impurities. Ripak is like the dirt and the bits and pieces. They float to the surface and they skim them off and chuck them away. And then it cools down and they heat it again and up they come, take the impurities off and throw them away. But that becomes moldable. When they made that statue of Queen Victoria, that's bronze or whatever, all melted down. Bronze, gold, and what do they make bronze out of? Different metals. They melt it all down and then it's moldable. It can be poured into a mold. So God does use circumstances. That becomes the mold. He like melts us through trial. He makes us soft and pliable. And he uses that to form. We can be pushed then gently into a form, into a shape. And he says, but don't be conformed by the world. Don't so fill yourself with the world's way of thinking, whether that's through the media or temptations, whatever, that you're softened and then formed into the world shape with the way that it thinks, the way that it thinks about others, and the way that it thinks about you. You're the center of the universe, or else the racist side, you are lower or you are higher than someone else. Don't think like that. Don't be conformed to that, to the image of the world, he said, but be transformed. So there is a place for being conformed, but conformed to the image of his son, because that's what that was his destiny for us right at the beginning, like it says in Ephesians 1:10. Be transformed, how? Romans 12:1 and 2, by the renewing of your mind. But it says that after you have presented your body as a living sacrifice, so that the word of God can be a living reality in you, and you're transformed from the inside out. So often, in the past, and I've had to think it through for myself in ministry, have we tried to conform people? This is how you're supposed to live life. Maraming bawal, maraming dapat, the things you shouldn't do and the things you should do. But when he writes his word on a soft heart, that he is transformed from a stony heart to a heart of flesh, when he writes his word on your heart, the command becomes a promise. You shall not do this. Becomes, you shan't do that anymore, because you're changed. You're different. You're transformed. Instead of thou shalt not, it becomes you won't do that, because you're being shaped into his image. It becomes a promise in Christ. Wow, that's just incredible to me. So he can use his word, just his absolutely miraculous word, to transform us. He can use trials like a crucible to heat us and soften us and mold us. And he says, don't be like, if he's the potter, you know, you take clay and you mold the clay, it says in Jeremiah. Don't let the clay say to the potter, ow, why are you making me like this? Why did you make me like this? Go, Lord, thank you for making me like this. I want to be soft and pliable in your hands so that I can be a vessel for you to fill. We're an earthen vessel, and sometimes we crack pots, but that's how the glory shines out. Yeah, it's, you know, that band called Jars of Clay? We are, that's what we are. We're so different. We've all got different bits. We've got a patch on here and a limp there or whatever physically, and we've got those things emotionally as well, and we've got those things relationally. But they're all part of what God is doing, and choosing ordinary people and filling them with his extraordinary self, and he wants to flow out through us. What an amazing thing. And he also uses time, years of growth, just like that baby growing. He needs the word. He needs, like we as baby Christians, once we're born, we need feeding, we need nourishing, and there's a point where that child stands up on his feet and he begins to have his own family or her own family and feed and nourish them. But that's years of change and process. Transformation rarely happens in a moment. You're under transformation. I don't know if you're in the crucible right now or if you're just a child that's growing. I don't know what God's doing in your life right now, but I can bet what he's doing will be through his word and through his people. And as you put yourself in that place, which used to render into that place and just keep saying yes, when God speaks to you, say yes. In a moment, you're going to see a video of some of the Palawano people and how God has transformed individual hearts and is transforming a community. One of the guys in the tribe, his name is Desito. He was helping my co-worker, Dave Ward. You may know of Dave and Julie Ward. They're part of the assemblies here in Sydney. They were my co-workers. And as Dave was preparing the Bible lessons to share with the whole village, and these language helpers were helping him before he did it, presented it publicly, the word began to change this guy. Tisito said, our people are like a man lost in the jungle in the pitch black middle of night. Now, even me in the jungle, if it's nighttime and you can't even see the hand in front of your face, you can hear all these squeaks and sounds and stuff. There's slithery things. There are centipedes which bite, and the pain is worse than childbirth, I can tell you from experience. Scorpions, there's snakes. there's wild pigs, for me that's scary enough, especially if I don't know where I am and I don't know the way out. For them there's spirits, there are people, spirits who will eat you, eat your liver out, will shoot arrows into you when you walk past their tree and you'll end up with malaria, who would just, you don't know how to appease them, to soften them and calm them down, and if they're angry, how do I stop that anger? He said, that's what we're like. We're like a man lost in the pitch black in the middle of the jungle. And he said, as I'm hearing this word of God, as I'm hearing what God has said, he said, it's like God is taking his big machete. Now, he's never read Ephesians 6 saying that the word of God is like a sword. He said, God has got his big machete and he's going ahead of me. He's going ahead of us. And he's cutting a trail out of the darkness into the light. We can see it and we know it's there now. We've been in darkness for centuries, and now God is cutting this trail, and I can see the way out. I thought, wow, this is really exciting. This is really exciting. And of course, when he heard the head of the story, not just the tail, he was set free. And he said, it's a step-by-step walk out, as God, step-by-steps, opened their eyes, and then they could see, and they could see the way out. My tribal mum, her name is Mulok. I remember her being a very frightened lady, always conforming to whatever the chief said, whatever the ancestors said, whatever the witch doctor said, afraid of lowlanders and outsiders, afraid of the spirits, always trying to do it right so that they wouldn't attack her and make her sick or hurt her family or cause a flood or whatever. And she was a very, very frightened lady. And I remember as the Bible teaching was going on, teaching from Genesis to Revelation, I would walk with her on the trail and I'd be behind her and she's just chat, Jesus this, Jesus that, God this, God that. And I'm like, wow, she's preaching me a sermon. I can learn from her. And when they learned about the tabernacle and when they learned about the sacrifices and the Lamb of God, the Lamb that became the substitute, in Abraham and Isaac, that the lamb died in Isaac's place. And it's as if Isaac was a living sacrifice. Now he's dedicated to God. He's there to be part of the fulfillment of God's promise in sending the Redeemer. When we got to the day where Dave was teaching about the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he taught the first part. And we got to the middle bit and we took a break in that teaching session after the crucifixion. And I remember Jambi sitting there, that's Mulok's son, with a picture of Jesus and the two thieves on the cross, just like stunned. Because they had heard from the beginning that God was sending a Redeemer. And when they had got to John the Baptist saying, behold, look, here's the Lamb of God, they went, that's the lamb for sacrifice. He's the lamb who can be the sacrifice for us. He's not just an animal to cover our sin. He's the one who can come and remove our sin. And he is God's perfect sacrifice. So when they got to the point of he's on the cross, they hadn't put the sacrifice together. They hadn't put that this is a sacrifice. How is this going to work out? And Jambi just sat there stunned. It was quiet. It was really quiet. And then Dave talked about the burial and the resurrection. And my mum, Mulok, the one who was afraid, she just went, that's it. This is it. He's the Lamb. He's the Redeemer promised right back there in Genesis 3. He's the Redeemer. I don't have to be afraid anymore. I don't have to be afraid of what people think of me. I don't have to be afraid of the spirits. I don't have to be afraid of the lowlanders. I'm God's child. I'm like a sibling to Jesus. And he's taken hold of me. And I honestly can say he's transformed that lady. Her husband, Pilno, my tribal dad, he was a witch doctor. God transformed him too. And his fellow witch doctors, one of his fellow witch doctors, on the day when that group of people, 24 people, I think, were baptized, on that day, one of the other witch doctors, Kimby, he said, this is going to so anger the spirits that you are submitting to this God. This is going to so anger the spirits that it's going to rain and it will flood right to the mountaintops. You've got to run away. Everybody's got to run away. So it's like these 20 people and a few other believers from downriver there with us, our co-workers from downriver. And on that day, rainy season though it was, there was not a cloud in the sky. I'm not even a cloud the whole day. And these first 24 people, the seed of transformation in this place, were baptized. And I've got photos of Pilno, this ex-witch doctor, coming up out of the water, his face shining. Kimby was up on the mountaintop with most of the rest of the village. Didn't rain a drop. It didn't touch his heart, but it touched his wife. And she's now a sweet believer in the Lord Jesus. And she's been transformed by that too. So the Word of God, the Spirit of God, is still in the process of transforming, of shaping people step by step. And through growth, through trials, and across time. And the practices or the disciplines or the things that have shaped me have been the experience of watching people be transformed and shaped by the Word of God, by people, as Pastor Ariel said, who mentor. The first guy to preach to me, his name was Pastor Peter Spence. And he was the one from whom I heard the gospel. He was the one who discipled me. And whenever I had issues in life, I'm struggling with this, struggling with that, he would say, are you reading the word every day? Are you praying? Are you meditating on it? Are you saying yes to God when he speaks to you? Okay. Every time. And you go, well, you know, no, that's where you start. And it's true. Because if we're going to be transformed, as it says, like Moses was transformed and his face glowed and he was transformed from glory to glory. If we're going to be transformed into the image of Christ, we have to put ourselves in his presence. And not just, I've got to read my 3-minute devotion on YouVersion or whatever it is, tick, tick, and that's ticked off for the day. But actually sit in his presence, listen to what he's saying to us personally and be changed by it, be shaped by it, shape the way we think, the way we see, the way we see others, the way we are shaped, not just as individuals, but as a body. And I believe, if I'm not wrong, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, be ye transformed, be transformed, not just as individuals, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the New Living Translation says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I think he's saying, let God transform you as a body too, in the way you think, the way you see, the way you reach out. God is transforming this community. I can see that. We dropped in the other afternoon and watched Hands and Feet. And just your unconditional acceptance, your love, your extending of God's kingdom through proclamation. I know there's Bible study going on, but through demonstration. And that's what God is doing. And I know that he's using you and transforming you, shaping you individually and shaping you as a body of believers here. And may the Lord continue to do that here. And don't feel that you don't have a part in that. Don't walk out of the door and say, oh, that doesn't really apply to me. Put yourself in God's presence and he will mold you into this body of Christ and use you as a body more and more to be salt and light and transformative, shaping of people's perceptions of God, of others, of their society, of the world that God's created. That will give them a glimpse of the kingdom of God as you embody it individually and as a body here, as he's done among the Palawano people. He will shape your worldview. He will shape the things that you become more valuable to you. He will change you at the core. And I pray that he will continue to do that individually as you just put yourself and soak yourself in his presence and just keep saying yes to God, even when it hurts, even when it's tough, whether you're in the middle of a trial that seems long and you feel like you're in the crucible and you're going, stop, enough. Or even if you're saying, why did you make me like this, with this limp, with this relational issue or with this disability? Don't let the clay say to the potter, why did you make me like this? He made us like this so that he will be the one glorified and he can be seen and he can be loved and people can experience his love. Don't let the media and all those things transform you. Be transformed by the Word of God. Let him grow you. Let him nourish you in community. Let him nourish you through his word. Let him change you and soften you through trials. Let him, in as you practice those disciplines of putting yourself in a place to hear and be changed by God's word, meditating on it, internalizing it, and in humility, as you surrender to him, or you ditch your pride. And I can't do this myself. I can't be saved through good works. I can't be saved in any other way. but just surrendering to God, throwing away my pride and going, Lord, here I am. I have nothing to bring except empty hands. I'm nothing but a clay vessel, but I want you to fill me. Let him fill you. You are made in his image, and he wants to continue to transform you into the image of Christ. That's what he predestined for you before the beginning of time. And that's what he's doing, because Christ died and took your sin so that that marred image can be transformed from glory to glory. You're on that path somewhere if you're a child of his. And if you're not, I know there are people here who will help you to understand what it is to become a child of God. And may you just surrender to him. And may he do here, continue to do here, what he's done in our little valley in the south of the Philippines. Whereas it says in Hosea, when the Lord is talking about Israel, who are in a big mess at that time, and he says, I will transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. May this church be a gateway of hope in this community. As the church among the Palawano people, which is small and is growing, is that baby under transformation as the word nourishes them. May you transform your community out of a place of trouble, out of a suburb of trouble, and may you be the gateway of hope, individually, as a fellowship, as the Filipino part of your fellowship, and the other part of the fellowship, all one in Christ Jesus, the Lord transforming us heart by heart, moment by moment, step by step as we surrender to him, and as a whole church, as a community, as a body of Christ in this place, being transformed, and vessels that he is just flowing over and out into this community. The Lord bless you, and may you be encouraged as you see a little of what the Lord is doing in transforming a community in the Philippines as we just look at this video now. We have a little display out there. You can have a read a little bit more about the ministry. But I hope that I can stay in touch with you. I would like to ask you to pray for our ministry too. I'd like you to pray for God's continued transformation with among the Palawano people. They're praying for you this morning. They honestly are praying for you, and they're praying for your transformation, and may you continue to pray for their shaping and transformation so that they too, like you, can continue to be salt and light in that community, in that place. God bless you, Kings Park. And what's the Filipino? Christ-centered church. Praise the Lord. Christ-centered. May that's what all of us be. Centered in Christ, grounded in Christ, so that he can work in us and through us to shape us and transform us, and so that this world can be transformed also and give a taste of what the kingdom of God will be when the Lord returns. Thank you.